This morning, I want to start out by telling you a little story. And the way that the story goes is that there was a prize once offered to an artist who could best show the concept of peace with a painting. A prize. The first artist, his image was of a calm lake, so calm that it just mirrored the mountain range in the back. You could see the mountains and the water, the mountain range in the back. And overhead was a blue sky with white puffy clouds. That sort of sounds like a Bob Ross painting. Anybody remember Bob Ross? This is yes, this is no. This is the guy that had the hair that painted happy rocks and happy trees and stuff like that. Quite a man. But anyway, that was the first painting. The other picture, though, was of a rugged, bare mountain range with foaming waterfalls tumbling down the side of the mountain. And above were very, very, very dark, stormy clouds with lightning flashing throughout the sky. That was the second picture. But if you looked real, real close at this second picture, there was a bush. And this bush was by the waterfall. And a bird had built her nest. And the mother bird was sitting contently on the nest in the midst of that waterfall and that terrible sky with the thunder and lightning. Now, I think all of you probably know which picture won the contest. It was picture number two. And because picture number two won, peace is being calm in your heart in the midst of chaos in life. And that leads me into today's title. What does peace look like? Let's start out and talk a little bit about a peaceful life. Some people might say, Dennis, that's a lot easier said than done. I'm here to help you. A peaceful life. First of all, we are taught to pray for a tranquil life. Let's go to our first scripture reading, which is from 1 Timothy, chapter 2, starting at verse number 1. This is where we're talking about a tranquil life. It reads here, first of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men, for kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. It's not to say, though, that when we pray for a tranquil life, that the world is going to be changing, that the world is not going to continue to bother us, because it can be fine and dandy inside these walls, but once you go out to that world again, they're after you again. But we are here to find peace despite the world, here to find that peace. And it has to come from within us. That peace has to come within myself, within yourself. Let's go to Psalm 131 and see what it reads there. Psalm 131, and beginning that verse number 1. It states, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty, nor do I involve myself in great matters, or in things to too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child rest against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. A peaceful life. Another thing is that we need to attempt to live at peace with people. Once again, some people are probably saying, easier said than done, Dennis, but we need to try to do that. But the trouble is, there will not always be people who will work in the favor, do that in response to you. There are going to be out there trying to push your button, get you riled up, or whatever the case may be. We need to learn to make peace. How about James chapter 3? James 3, and this is verse number 18. And it reads here, and the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We have to learn to make peace. And we also have to learn to live in peace. 2 Corinthians talks about that. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 11. He reads here, that finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete, be comforted, be like mine. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. That's what I want. I hope a lot of you want the same thing. We need to learn to live in peace. We've talked about a peaceful life. The next thing we need to talk a little bit about this morning is finding that peace. Because it reads, pursue peace and sanctification, which means setting apart yourself for God. But pursue peace and sanctification, because without these, you won't see God. Let's go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14. Reads right here, pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. If you don't practice that, it says, will not see the Lord here. This peace thing that I'm talking about this morning, it's not easy. It requires effort. Peace doesn't knock on your front door and say, here I am. Let's make everything great. It does not do that. It requires effort from you. It requires effort. Because if we desire to have a good life, we have to seek and pursue peace. 1 Peter chapter 3. And verse number 10. Reads here, now I'm starting at verse number 10. For the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who do evil? But you may be asking me, but Dennis, you know, how do we do this? Well, the Apostle Peter, he mentions it earlier in the same book and chapter. This is 1 Peter 3, just go up a little bit to verse number 8. It talks here about to sum up. All of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. But returning evil for evil, or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Let's break these down a little bit. That word harmony, what does that mean? Harmony. How about working together? Harmony is working together. Being sympathetic. You know, that's being able to see things from another person's point of view. Where it's not all about me, 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 I. We can relate to the situations in our family and friends that you may not understand it completely, but you have to, as the old saying goes, walk a mile in their shoes to understand that. How about brotherly? What does brotherly mean? Well, how about seeing your connection to those around you? I can fit in with that. I kind of know what they're going through. Been there, done that. And if you can offer advice or prayers or whatever the case may be, your connection to those around you, that is being brotherly. Do I have to tell you what kind-hearted is? Kind-hearted is being nice. Being nice. And humble, talked a little bit about that already, humble. Not putting yourself first. We have people in this world, they're a me, 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 I person. And I think everyone knows what I'm talking about. And you may even know people that are like that. They think about themselves first, and if they have time, oh yeah, then maybe they'll focus on someone else. But it's all about me, all about I. Reminds me of that old, what's his name, Toby Keith song, I Want to Talk About Me, I Want to Talk About I. Number one, me, oh my, oh my. But you got to think about other people besides yourself. And folks, when problems arise, I know I've preached about this before, when problems arise, and we all have them, no one is immune to those problems, whatever it may be. We need to take them to God because He will help us. What's it say in Philippians? Let's go to Philippians. And this is chapter 4, beginning at verse number 4. It reads here that since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, just as in, I'm reading from Colossians. I apologize. I was in the wrong chapter here. Sorry. Philippians 4, beginning at verse number 4. Rejoice, this is better. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but that says a lot about me. When I can just take this problem that I have and knowing that there's someone there that I can share it with, that I don't have to hold it inside, that I can share it, I can share it with the Lord. You know, there's a beautiful song that we sing in this congregation periodically. And if you want to, I brought up my song book for two reasons. If you want to turn to that song, it's on page number 561. 561. It is well with my soul. I'm going to tell you another story this morning about the person that wrote this song. And some of you may know this story. And if you do, you're going to get a repeat this morning. It is well with my soul. And this is going to be, the words I'm looking at is going to be coming out for verse number one in this. The author of this song, he was a very successful attorney, lawyer, and also a businessman who lived in Chicago in 1871. And he lost his real estate investments in the Great Chicago Fire. Everybody's heard about the Great Chicago Fire, where the cow kicked over the lantern, set the haymow on fire, and the rest is history, as they say. He lost his investments during that fire in Chicago. And shortly before the fire, his only son had died at a young age before the fire. 2 years later, in 1873, he, his wife, and his four daughters were heading to Europe on a vacation. But at the last moment, he had to stay in Chicago to deal with business. But he went ahead, he sent his family ahead on this trip. He sent his family ahead and promised to meet up with them a few days later. As the ship with his family crossed the Atlantic Ocean, it crashed into another vessel and it rapidly sank in less than 12 minutes, sort of like the Titanic. Very few people survived that crash. Later on, he received a telegram a few days later from his wife. And it read, "Saved alone." Which means later on the gentleman journeyed across the sea to be with his bereaved wife. All the girls had been killed. And during his journey, he wrote this song, and this comes from verse 1, 561. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. I can't even imagine losing a son. First of all, having a fire where you lost your business, losing a son before the fire, and then on what's supposed to be a joyous occasion on the vacation, suddenly you lose four daughters at once. The agony that he was going through. But he was there for his wife. This is how he penned that song. It's as he's traveling to her. You know, the Apostle Paul, he also learned the same lesson. Let's go to Philippians 4. And we're going to read this time, make sure I'm in Philippians. Philippians 4, and starting at verse number 11. It reads here, that not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Folks, we can do it. Because I got a feeling that Paul, after he wrote that, he just said, I can make it. I can make it. No matter what anybody throws at me, I can make it. Because I'm knowing that Christ is there with me. I can do this. I can make it because of him. In closing, you know, Christ, he came to bring peace to this earth. He came to bring peace. Let's go to Luke. Luke chapter 1, verse number 78. It reads here that because of the tender mercy of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Into the way of peace. You know, peace, there's some people in this world, if they have everything that they want, whether it's house, vehicle, whatever, and have all the money in the world, they think they're at peace. But peace isn't found in the world. Peace is not found in the world. It is found in a mind set on spiritual values. That is where peace is found. What's it say in Romans 8? Let's go to Romans 8 and verse number 6. It says, for the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. So my advice to each and every one of you this morning, you need to fix your eyes on the Savior. Fix your eyes on the Savior. Let's go to Hebrews 12. And then the lesson will be yours. Hebrews 12. We're going to start at verse number 2. Hebrews 12, starting at verse number 2. Reads here that fixing your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It's not easy finding that peace, folks. The main thing is don't give up. Pursue it at all times. Have the peace of heart. Turn to God. When there's just, how much more can I take, Lord? My plate is already full. Turn to him. Ask him for help, guidance, suggestions, whatever the case may be, because he's there for you. You know, every Sunday we offer the invitation for anybody that is not a Christian and would like to become one. We have everything ready for you. Or if there are those in our audience that have been having some issues, some problems, that they want to share, that they just need the prayers of the congregation, we're here for you on that also. So if there's anything that we can do, anything that we can help you with, by all means, come forward as we sing the song of the day.